This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast will be a blessing and a help to you. And I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God. Lord, we pray, Father, for this broadcast that's going out. Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in it. Use it for your glory. I pray for each and every one of the listeners that's joined us today. Bless them, their homes, their families, Lord, all those they come in contact with. God, we want to thank you, Lord, for saving an old wretch like me. Do pray for the children's homes, all the mission work. Lead us and guide us that we may know what to do. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. Ask you to pray for our children's homes, one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, as well as the feeding centers in Romania and Bulgaria, and then all of the mission work there, as well as the work in the Ukraine. And just ask you to continue to pray for us. We do appreciate each and every one that has supported this work financially and through prayers. We thank you for it. We appreciate it. Ask you to continue just to pray, and whatever the Lord leads, that's what we depend on. We depend on Him. We know that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, so we just depend on Him to do it all. But anyway, I want to thank you one more time. As I said, thank you for joining us on the broadcast. We'd like to give you our mailing address this week, if you would write us. Write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church, and we trust it'll be a blessing.
Tis the old ship of Zion, tis the old ship of Zion, tis the old ship of Zion, why get on board. Can't you see her in signs waving? Can't you see her color streaming? Can't you see the soul she's saving? Why don't you get on board? She will make the run successful to that distant heavenly for Christ Jesus is her captain. Why don't you get on board? Tis the old ship of Zion. Tis the ship of Zion, tis the old ship of Zion, why don't you get on board? She has landed many on that shining shore celestial. She has room for every pilgrim. Why don't you Ship of Zion, why don't you get on board?
I appreciate that. You have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 6. Now, I didn't know they were going to sing this, and they didn't know I was going to preach it. But it says in chapter 6 and verse 14, this is God talking to Noah. To save time, I'm going to just read this. Verse 14 of chapter 6 of the book of Genesis. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it without and within, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above, and a door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with the lower and the lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. Then in verse 16 of chapter 7, and they went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded, and the Lord shut him in. Amen. I want to talk to you about when God shuts the door. Amen. Now, I mean, it says here that God made that Noah made an ark. And it says that Noah made it like God told him. Amen. He put a door in the side. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Do you know where the church gets in and where every sinner gets in? They go in through the side of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Why you say it's not open? Well, Jesus said so. Amen. 8 days after he arose from the dead, he said, Thomas, put hither thy hand in my side. Amen. If it hadn't been open, he wouldn't have said that. Amen. The side of Jesus is still open. Amen. He's never healed up. There is no wounded scars in his hand. They asked the question, where'd you get the wounds? Amen. He's still wounded over in Zechariah. Amen. They saw him wounded. Amen. Israel will see him wounded. Amen. Now I want you to know, I guess this is the saddest time of God. He shut the door to shut Noah in, and that shut everybody else out. Amen. I mean, it's going to be a sad day when God shuts the door. Amen. Now the side, the doors and the side. Now the Bible said God shut him in. God told Noah, come in. He didn't say go in. He said come in, because God is already in there. He invited Noah in where he was. God's going to take care of those that wherever they are when the judgment of God comes. I want to tell you right now, I believe that the ark is a type, of course, of Jesus. Amen. But I believe Noah is a type of Israel that God's going to bring in when all the judgment of God comes upon this earth. He said over in the book of Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 20, I believe it is, God said, come thou into thy chamber and shut thy doors about thee until the indignation be overpassed. God has got a time coming when he's going to have to judge this world because of sin. Now listen, friend, God's long-suffering to usward. He's not willing any perish, but that all should come to repentance. God never wanted anybody to perish, never has. But I want to talk to you today, tonight again. Let me say that it's going to be a sad day when God closes the door to get to the Gentile world will be outside. Now, I mean, whatever you do, you'll not get in. I mean, we've had folks to tell us that you can be saved after the church is gone. There ain't no place to put you after the church is gone. When the church goes out of here, I mean, that's it for us Gentiles. We're the body. We're his body. And when it's gone, there's nobody to put you in. You say, we'll get in the kingdom. No, sirree. The kingdom's not for us. It's for Israel. He gave it to Israel, took it to Israel, gave it to us. He's going to take it away from us and give it back to Israel. That's what the Bible says. Now, I want to say a few things here hurriedly and quickly in chapter 24 of the book of Matthew. Chapter 24 is a strange book. I mean, most folks won't understand it and never have understood it and wouldn't believe it if they did. But Jesus told a few things here that I want you to take note. In verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, in verse 24, this is after all of the things has happened, and the Bible tells us what's going to happen, how the Bible tells us the end's not yet. A nation arise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, pestilence, famines, earthquakes, and you're reading about all that all the time. And they're going to get worse, by the way. It's not going to get any better. I mean, these famines are going to get worse. The earthquakes are going to get more frequent, and everything else is going to happen. And God is getting ready to shut the door. Friend, I mean, God is sick of this outfit, no doubt. I mean, the wickedness of men were great in the days of Noah, and it's still the same way today. Everywhere you look, there's wickedness. Everywhere you look, there's sin. And nobody seems to have anything on their mind about God. Like the brother said, they'll go down the road laughing at you for going to church. They laughed at Noah, no doubt, for building the ark. They laughed at him for going in the ark. They said, did you see that old dumb fella going into that place there with all them stinking animals? Did you ever see the like? Well, listen, bless God, when the rain came, they didn't know any better. And they still didn't know any better. Bible said the flood come and took them all away, and they knew not until the flood came. They had no idea that God is going to judge this world, and this world's got no idea about what God's about to do. We're looking at the newspaper, and you're seeing what I preached the other Sunday night, when there be signs in the sun. And there is signs in the sun now, like you've never seen it before. There'll be signs in the moon. That's after the Gentile age is over. And there'll be signs in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations. Well, I want to tell you, according to all the information I'm getting today, I mean, some of these folks are getting the information off of the internet. Boy, scare you to death. I mean, to think about in the year 2000, everything's going to shut down. Why, you say, preacher, that ain't going to happen. Well, bless God, it happened in Noah's day. And Revelation 18 said that Babylon's going to fall in 1 hour. It ain't going to take God forever to shut her down. And somebody said, oh, these bombs they're putting off. Don't you worry about the bomb. It's when heaven catches a fire. God burns up all that junk we've set up there. God's sick of us messing with his business and doing what we're not supposed to do. God is sick of this outfit trying to be smart and dumb as an ox. Don't even know that the judgment of God is coming. They don't know the master's crib. I want to tell you right now, the ox knows more than we do. The animals know more than most folks today. We're in a dumb bunch. We think we're smart, professing to be wise. We become fools, changing the glory of the incorruptible into an image like a corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And God said, for this cause, God gave them over. Amen. Do the things that are not convenient. Men with men and women with women. That's happened in your day. That's because we're all smart and don't know it. That God's affixing the judges. Now listen what it said. In verse 4 it said, don't let nobody deceive you. In verse 24. Now after all of these things has happened, the gospel's preached, and the tribulation period's come, whatever part that is, and you say, well, that's a 7 year. Honey, let me tell you, this is talking to Israel and talking about Israel. And for 2,000 years, they ain't had nothing but tribulation. I mean, my God, sitting around talking about the 7 years. Well, we're already past that. Do you know what these prophecy preachers told us? They said in the year 2000, we're going to set up the millennial kingdom. It's going to happen in the year 2000. But before that, we're going to have 7 years of tribulation. Well, you're going to have to cram it in a year and a half. Amen. Because we ain't got but a year and a half left. I mean, somebody has lied to us. Somebody screwed this outfit up. Somebody told you something that wasn't so. And we've got a year and a half left to cram 7 years in if we start the millennial when everybody's saying they're going to. I don't believe anything I hear now. I believe what I read, and that's all I believe. Whatever God says is so, and the rest of it's a bunch of junk, and all these preachers are making money off of you, and they're brainwashing you and laughing at me. But let them laugh. He'll laugh when their calamity comes too. And the Bible said, well, let me read verse 21. Then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world, neither to the time, no, not shall ever be. And except those days be shortened, no flesh shall be saved. But for the elect's sake. Now, honey, I want to tell you, if you listen to what I'm saying, you read this Bible, and if you can find anybody anywhere in this Bible that's elected outside of Israel, then I'll apologize over the radio anywhere else. It's not in there. I've checked it out. Every time you read about election, it's to Israel. God's elect. God has elected them and chosen them to be saved. There is no such a thing as God electing you. You didn't get elected. You didn't get chosen. You just got saved by grace. That's the only way a Gentile ever got saved, is by the grace of God. And listen, this election business, somebody preaching that, I mean, it's all over the country now, they're preaching that, brother, you're either elected to go to heaven or you'll have to go to hell, no matter whether you want to go or not. Didn't matter what you do, you couldn't go in. I mean, little babies in hell, that's a bunch of baloney. Amen. Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me. Amen. And forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. I want to tell you right now, this outfit's going to burn some of them in hell. And a lot of them is preaching it because they read it in Pink's book or somebody else's. I don't care if you read it in Pink's or Blue's or Gray's. It don't matter to me whose book you got it out of. You didn't get it out of this book. Now, God's the one done it. And I mean, I'm just telling you what he said here. Now, he said, except those days be shortened, no flesh shall be saved. But for the elect's sake, thank God, amen, those days shall be shortened. Then it says, Now if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. He's telling them Jews, don't you let nobody fool you. And you know who's over there trying to mess them up right now? The Baptists. Amen. They've got the first Baptist church in Jerusalem. And they know about as much about them. Listen, God elected Israel. Now, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I might as well get this all off my mind. I mean, if you'll turn over in Ephesians chapter 1, he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, that's not you, that's us, Paul said. Amen. He's chosen us. Paul was a Jew. Amen. He chose us. Now, he said down in verse 13 of that same chapter, and ye, and when he said ye, he meant somebody beside Israel. Right. So you ought to get that and read it when it says us and ye, and check it out and see. Now, he said that God chose them before the foundation of the world, and if he ever chooses anybody to be holy, he'll be holy. I don't care if he cusses, drinks, smokes, cusses, dips and chews and shoots and raises hell, he'll still be holy in God's sight. If God says you're holy, you're holy. If God says you're going to be before Him in love, you'll be before Him. And if God says you're going to be blameless, you'll be blameless. That's what it says. And you say, well, I don't understand. I ain't expecting you to understand it. I want you to believe it. Too many folks running around now trying to understand something. They don't believe nothing. Why don't you just believe? That's all you need to do. He that believeth is not condemned.
Amen.
I mean, you know, I don't go around condemned all the time because I believe everything's okay between me and God. I know I sin every day. I know you sin every day. And I know there's no good in none of us. But I'm still not condemned because this flesh of mine, God knew it wasn't no good to start with. That's the reason He ain't going to take it to heaven. That's the reason He gave me some new flesh. I mean, you say, well, I don't believe that. Bible said we're bone, we're flesh of His flesh. We're of His body, and we're of His bone. I mean, if I'm His of His body, if I'm of His flesh, and I'm His bone, then I'm as holy as He is. That part. Now, this flesh is not His flesh. This flesh is sinful, sick, and sorry. Well, let me hurry. Y'all pray for me so I can hurry and get done. They say unto you, lo, here is Christ or there. Said, don't go look about it. Now, verse 24, for there shall rise false Christ. Now, Jesus is saying this, and wonder why He says this so much. There shall arise false Christ and false prophets. And great God, if you don't believe we've got them, son, just look around. Every time you turn the TV on or the radio on, you've got one dude up there. I mean, telling you that, hey, I mean, if you'll send me a little offering, I'll send you a bottle of water come from Russia. And you'll get healed. Well, great heavens alive. Looks like that crowd did get healed. It looks to me like if God's going to bless anybody, bless Russia. And it looks like if they'd go down there and drink that water, all that would be all right. Now listen, don't ever let nobody deceive you of that junk. I mean, I don't care how much water you drink or how many times you get baptized in it. The water ain't got a thing to do with it. It's salvation of the Lord, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses you from all sin. And without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission. And if you're not saved by the blood, you ain't saved. Drink the Jordan River dry and go to hell. You wouldn't get no water when you got there, but you could drink it dry. If you could, you'd still go to hell. Now, go meet false prophets. Boy, we've got them. I mean, I get so sick of hearing these fellas on the radio prophesying about what God's going to do when they don't even know what He's already done.
Amen.
They don't even believe He died for our sins. They don't believe, oh, they say, bless God, I'll tell you right now. I mean, God's going to do something up here one day. If you don't watch it, God's going to get you. God already got you if you're saved.
Amen.
And if you ain't, the devil's got you.
Amen.
And you don't have to pay for your sins. Jesus done that.
Amen.
A fellow said, call me today. I mean, said, I know I got saved because the two preachers got down on each side of me and prayed, and I gave them $2,500. I said, that's what they was praying about. They wasn't praying for your soul. Bless God, they don't want your money. They're not interested in you. They want what you've got. Now, isn't that pathetic? Now, I know some of you say, well, why do you preach this like this for? Because you need to hear it. Because you're listening to a bunch of junk out there. Oh, I mean, some of you listen to it and you don't know the difference. You don't know what, you don't know one from the other. I mean, some of you go off and come back and say, boy, ain't that wonderful preaching. They bring me a tape and it's a bunch of junk. Some of that is election, predestination, all that stuff. I say, that ain't what I preach. Well, I thought it was, and it ain't. I preach if you're saved by grace. I mean, if you've got grace, you don't need election. With God at grace, where grace, sin abounded, grace did much more.
Amen.
Now, the Bible said there'll be false prophets, and they'll show great signs. Are you listening to this? Listen to this. They're going to show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, what are you seeing today? I heard a fellow on the radio this evening. I was coming down the road. I turned the thing on. I don't know why I listened to it. I don't even know why I listened. He said, boy, I just like to see folks get healed so much. I mean, it just blessed me today to see folks get healed. I thought, my God, it blesses me when I see them get saved. I could care less about them getting healed. I'd rather get saved and go to hell sick, or heaven sick, than to go to hell well. Amen. I'm in bad to go to hell anyhow. But boy, wouldn't it be awful to have you a good body and a fine body and wind up in hell with it.
Amen.
I mean, I'm preaching for souls, not sickness. I'm trying to get people saved. And I'm trying to keep you from being deceived. But it said they're going to show great wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they'll deceive their very elect. Now, I mean, really, that's what it says. And it says in the next verse, behold, I told you before. Wherefore they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber. Believe it not. Well, I got to hurry on. I've got to get down here to where it says, this generation shall not pass away. When you see the fig leaves, the fig tree, when it putteth forth its tender branches and brings forth leaves, you know that summer's nigh. So likewise, when you see all these things, you know that it's near at the door. This generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Now I want to say right quickly and hurriedly, now I'm going to let you go in a few minutes, but I want you to listen to me. Now we're seeing what I preached the other night over in Luke. We're seeing signs in the sun. They said the other day, I got something off of the internet, somebody got it from me, and they said that they're having tornadoes up there, and the wind is 300,000 miles an hour. They say that it's going to burn up everything in this world. And in fact, by the year 2000, everything will shut down. Now, whether you like this or don't, I mean, read for yourself. Get it off of your internet. Do whatever you want to. I don't believe it. I don't care what you believe. They all are saying that that all that stuff they've got made and all these computers and all this junk ain't going to last except to 2000. It won't run over. It ain't got enough numbers on it. Now, I mean, the old fella that messed it up come back to work the other day trying to get it unmessed. It'll take him a year and a half. I mean, if he could do it in a year and a half, but I don't believe he can.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.